The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome. Good to have you along this morning on this Tuesday, June the 9th. It is TalkBack. Lots going on today. I'm Peter Christian. That is the fabulous Nick Christensen. Nick, good morning, sir. How you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Hey, we've got lots of folks due to be joining us here pretty quick. Within the next 5 minutes or so, Henry Kriegel will be joining us with Americans for Prosperity. He'll be with us for about 10 minutes. And then we'll be talking with Brian Moussard from the Reminisce Angus Ranch. He'll be with us as well. What's going on with him? And I didn't realize this. He is Robert F. Kennedy's, as you know, he's the nutrition guy for the Trump administration. He's the RFK Ranch Advisor. So it's good to know. All right. Mm-hmm. All that's coming up. But right now, so what should we talk about?
Well, you could finish what's going on the rest of the show.
So please then, do, yeah.
Yeah, after Brian's on from 8:20 to 8:30, we'll have open phones for a half hour. So if you're itching for open phones, save those questions for after Brian joins us. And then in the 9 o'clock hour from 9 to 10, it'll be Office of Public Instruction Superintendent Susie Hedelin. She'll be joining us and talk about kind of how the school year went and what to expect this summer and what to hopefully expect and shoot for next year. So we'll kind of get a year in review from Susie.
Good deal. And again, I understand she will be taking calls. Is that right?
Well, of course.
Of course. Of course. This is a talk show. Yeah.
We don't have any guests that don't take calls.
Yeah. All right. So as of right now, we want to, if you want to give us a call, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 for about the next 2 minutes or so before we get into a quick commercial break. If there's something on your mind you would like to share with everybody, I did want to tell all of our listeners that it is Wildfire Smoke Ready Week. Missoula County, along with the state of Montana, this whole week is Wildfire Smoke Ready Week. It's not only to educate about the health impacts of wildfire smoke, but also to remind you to prepare for wildfire smoke later this summer. And if you want to find out more, join Missoula County officials June 9th, which is today, at 6 o'clock for the 2026 Wildfire and Smoke Outlook panel discussion. That'll be at the Missoula Public Library on the fourth floor in the Copper Rooms. The forum will also be available via Zoom for those wishing to attend remotely. So,
There was a situation in Butte over the weekend where a 13-year-old boy is still recovering from injuries he sustained after being flung from a carnival car ride afternoon. They were in the parking lot of the Butte Civic Center. The victim was airlifted to from Butte to a hospital in Kalispell, where he's being treated for extensive injuries.
Oh my goodness.
The Butte Civic Center director, Bill Melvin, said the teenager was flung from his chair on the yo-yo ride while it was going full speed.
Wow.
So obviously we hope that 13-year-old is going to be okay, and they're obviously investigating what happened, trying to figure out everything and going from there. So that was a pretty tough story out of Butte, yeah.
Yeah, having gone to many of those carnivals when my kids were little, you know, and you want to make sure the attendants are very, very careful about making sure everybody's buckled in exactly the way they should be before they even start the ride. And I'm not sure if, you know, what the circumstances were of this particular accident. Maybe he unbuckled himself or tried to move or who knows.
I wouldn't assume anything. Let's not go there.
We don't know anything about it.
Yeah. The Civic Center has used this company, Midway West Amusements, out of Arizona. They've used them in the past, and they've never had an incident like this. So they're trying to figure out what exactly happened.
You bet. Thoughts and prayers go out to that young man and his family as well. And so we are coming up against our first break. 721-1290 is our number. When we come back, we'll be visiting with Deputy State Director of Americans for Prosperity, Henry Kriegel. He'll be joining us. So stay with us. We'll have more coming up on TalkBack. TalkBackers.
Dennis Bragg with the updated weather. A chance of rain before noon Tuesday, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms through the afternoon. A chance of rain around 60% with gusty winds at times. And cool, we won't get much warmer than the upper 50s to low 60s. Scattered rain continues through the evening and into Wednesday, as it will take a while for this system to move through. The chance of rain remains around 70% Wednesday. However, we should dry out and clear off into Thursday. That will likely mean another cold morning, and then the sun and warmer conditions return.
Hey, welcome back to Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Nick, what's...
I've not gotten a call from Henry yet, but Brian actually called us early, so let's...
You bet.
Let's just get to Brian.
Hey, Brian, good morning. Thanks for being Johnny on the spot. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. How about you guys?
Excellent. How are things out at the Reminis Angus Ranch, sir?
It's a great day to be in Montana. We're calving right now. Calves are... hitting the ground about as fast as we can tag them, and we got a little rain last week and still got a little bit of water to irrigate, so it's fantastic.
So tell us a little bit about the operation for those who haven't heard. We try to visit with you as often as we can, Brian, but tell us a little bit about the Reminis Angus Ranch and the philosophy behind what you do.
Sure. So we calve a little bit different, a little later than most outfits. We don't start till about Memorial Day, we really start calving, and we AI our cows because they're registered, and we AI them to certain bulls for different reasons, for calvinies, for performance, different traits. There's about 17 traits we keep track of. And, you know, as ranchers, you know, we can only do our best to try to pick the best breeding matches with cattle. But, you know, when you turn them all out and you put the best bulls in, like our customers, you know, that's not up to us. And sometimes the most perfect planned matings are just average, and sometimes when you just turn them out, you get the greatest cattle in the world when the bulls are breeding the cows, and we're not trying to match them. But we calve later. We used to calve in February and sell yearling bulls, and you know that you're fighting the elements all the time.
Right.
You're calving when it's cold. It's, you know, about every 20 degrees when you're calving equals an extra hired person you got to have around. It just takes a lot more energy, a lot more heat, and cows, no matter how good the nutrition is, how much feed they have, wind and temperature, you know, it's harder to keep them healthy. You can have the best mineral program in the world and calves still get sick. And so we try to calve about the same time the elk do, and we just don't have that. We don't have frozen ears and short tails, and then we keep our bulls. When we sell them, they're a little bit older. And with the genetics today, you know, people used to calve early, you know, 40, 50 years ago, and they would keep those calves over 70 years ago, and they would run them as yearlings and sell them at 800 pounds was a great weight. Well, now people are calving later, a lot of March, April calvers, even some into May, and they're selling 900,000-pound yearlings that go back out to grass. And so the genetics have made great strides, you know, in the last 50 years. And so we kind of follow that model. We calve later. We let our bulls grow out slow, and we turn them out and let them range. They run up in about 3,500 acres in really steep, rocky country, and it's higher elevation. And they just learn to travel and find water. And then our customers enjoy them because they last longer. They're just more durable. And that's kind of how our cow herd works. And so we're calving right now. And then those cattle will go, like we just sent some cattle to the packing house, and those would be our yearlings that went to grass last summer, turned them out and ran them down in really high elevations of Wyoming and some pasture down there. Then they go back into the feedlot, and they're just coming out, and we can stretch. Since we started into this beef program, we don't just raise cattle and then sell them, and then it goes away. We've got to, and then on the beef side, we don't just buy finished cattle and put them in our beef program. It has to be out of our bulls to protect the authenticity of the flavor that goes back to the one bloodline that we've been tracking for over 30 years. And so we can stage these cattle so that we have to have them every month, and the product has to be consistent. And, you know, we've learned so much when you're dealing with a customer, and our customers are butchers and their store owners, their meat shops, department people that handle meat every day from all over the country. And boy, if you're not consistent and you're not right in there at the same price range as the four big packers, you know, we've learned that too. You have to have a very specific, unique product in this meat business. And you got to have good cattle if you're just selling cattle. You got to have good bulls if you're just selling bulls, if you want people to come back. And it's the same thing as stretched out to where we are in the meat business. It's got to be the same, and people have to like it because they don't have to buy it from you.
Brian, tell us a little bit about the relationship between science and agriculture, specifically ranching.
That's a broad subject. Which part of science?
Well, the whole idea of helping the herds grow and making sure the heredity is safe, you know, making sure that all of the ingredients are there to make sure that the calves are healthy.
Well, that's a lot. There's a lot to that. Most of the time, you just kind of have to get out of the way because cattle are. Beef is the most nutrient-dense food on the planet, and there's such a variety of the entire animal that we consume and we use, from the hides and the boots all the way to the meat, and then what you can process into value-added cuts. That's where you got to be careful when you're making salami and beef sticks and jerky and hot dogs and breakfast sausage, and now we're making our own brats.
Wow.
Those outside ingredients that come in, you've got to keep those pretty pure. And that's the one difference between our stuff. You know, our value-added products that we make are about like Häagen-Dazs ice cream. There's not very many ingredients in there. And there's a difference. Boy, when you can go pick up some packs of meat sticks or jerky, and that whole game is no different than any other game out there. You buy the cheapest commodity product you can, and then sell it at the highest value. And then when you look at those ingredients, whether you're talking about ice cream or beef sticks, you know, there's ice creams out there. A lot of them have 22 ingredients out there. You look at the plant-based hamburger, there's about 22 ingredients in there. And you look at Häagen-Dazs, there's 6 in there. And you look at what we put in our stuff, there's very little. If your beef isn't very good,
Brian, give us a website where we can find out more.
remangus.com. You can find our supplements on there, too.
Got it.
We just came out with them.
Brian, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it, sir. Have yourself a great day. And we're up against a commercial break. We're going to come right back. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. And we've got more coming up on Talk Back this morning. Open phones is going to be from 8:30 until 9. So if you have something on your mind, be sure and give us a call then. We'll be right back after this. Hey, welcome back. This is Talk Back, and we are jumping right into open phones right now. 406-721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Whatever might be on your mind this morning, something going on here in Missoula or around Montana or whatever, if you have something you'd like to talk about, this is your opportunity from now until 9 o'clock this morning. 721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. And just a couple of things here on... just came down the wire. Feel free to talk about whatever you'd like. The City Public Works and Mobility Utilities Division will begin construction on the South 14th Street Water Main Replacement Project, and that will start on the 15th, about 6 days from now, conditions permitting. The project is going to replace aging water infrastructure along South 14th Street west of Russell and is expected to last about 10 weeks. And, of course, if you know anything about uh, our, our system of pipes under the city of Missoula. There's a lot of leakage going on, and they're doing everything they can to try to ameliorate that with this new construction. So if there's something on your mind, it is open phones. 406-721-1290 is our number. And since we are statewide now, if there's something going on in your community, something going on in your neck of the woods that you'd like to talk about, we would love to hear from you, especially folks outside the Missoula and Bitterroot area. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. What do you got there, Mr. Nick?
Mary.
Mary, good morning, ma'am. How are you, sir? How are you?
What's up? Mary and Billy.
Hi, Mary. What's up?
I'm just a little concerned.
Okay.
The other day, we had that real black cloud coming in from the west.
Okay.
And there was heavy rain and hail, but the Weather Channel never put any notice on the television or on the radio.
Really? Wow.
Anyway, that was my only question.
Did you call the Weather Bureau to ask them why they didn't have a warning up?
I don't have the Weather Bureau's number.
You don't? Okay. All right.
No.
Well, it's good to know. Thank you for letting us know. And again, tell us, so whereabouts you live, ma'am.
I live in Billings.
You live in Billings. All right. So over in eastern Montana, we had a weather system that folks were not terribly prepared for, right?
That is correct.
All right. Well, thank you for letting us know. We appreciate it. That's what TalkBack's all about. Have a great day.
Well, thank you for the talk show.
It's our pleasure. Our pleasure to serve you. Steve is up next. Steve, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Peter. I just wanted to alert you and Nick maybe to write a story about the following. I saw it on Montana Free Press that unfortunately one of the Gults, Wiley Gult, decided to pull an amendment that he had champion-sponsored, whatever, to limit property tax increases to 2%
per year. That would be
nice.
That would be nice, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, he withdrew it, the petition, yesterday, so I don't know why. I mean, the Gults are a very prominent family. I think they're the second or first largest landholder in Montana, so, and it's based on his comments, seemed like he got a lot of pressure, I'm sure, from folks like Gianforte and all the other Republicans that love to pretend like they're financially conservative and did nothing in the last legislature to reduce property taxes other than put lipstick on a pig. But it's really sad that voters won't get to vote on the protection of their private property rights this coming election cycle. That would have been a really nice thing to see pass, and I think there'd be a ton of appetite for it across the state, given how bad people are hurting, especially in places like Missoula County, where property taxes are just out of control, and people are having to make real difficult choices between, you know, health care and food and things
right.
like that
right.
versus paying their rent to the county. So sad day. Thought maybe Nick might want to author an article on that. You guys maybe get some guests on to talk about that hot topic. It's a, you know, it's an important one, and unfortunately, it just demonstrates the inside politics going on in our state. I'm sure there was some heavy influence there from the governor's office not to run that thing through. Again, he did nothing to really systemically reduce our property taxes in the last session, and he let legislature, the nasty nine, run afoul and kill all kinds of bills that would have limited property taxes, that would have restricted TIF programs, that would have reformed our judiciary, etc. But no one sees that. He gets to come on and do advertisements all the time, and the Republicans like Skip and Jeff and all the other diehards out there don't ever either dig deep enough or hold anybody responsible. So it's a real shame to see that published this morning. Would have been a nice thing for a lot of people who are really struggling to pay their property taxes. But I just thought I'd alert you, Peter.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, sir. And we don't have time for another call right now, but we will when we come back. Emmett and Jeff are both standing by. Go ahead, Nick. We have open phones, by the way, right now until 9 o'clock this morning, and then we'll be talking with Susie Hedlund, the Office of Public Instruction Superintendent. She'll be with us from 9 to 10. We're talking about what the school is out now, and so we will look back on the past school year and see what she's going to be sharing with us. So that's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But right now, it is your time. It's open phones from now until 9 o'clock. Our phone number again: 406-721-1290. Or 1-800-568-5309. And whether you're here in Missoula, Western Montana, or anywhere where Talkback is being heard now throughout Eastern and Central Montana as well, please feel free to give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Back after this. Hey, it's Peter Chris.
Dennis Bragg with the updated weather. A chance of rain before noon Tuesday, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms through the afternoon. A chance of rain around 60% with gusty winds at times. And cool, we won't get much warmer than the upper 50s to low 60s. Scattered rain continues through the evening and into Wednesday, as it will take a while for this system to move through. The chance of rain remains around 70% Wednesday. However, we should dry out and clear off into Thursday. That will likely mean another cold morning, and then the sun and warmer conditions return.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
"I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong."
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Blowing out your birthday candles should be easy, but if you have undiagnosed COPD, you may find yourself short of breath. Early diagnosis and treatment can add years to your life. If you have symptoms like wheezing or chronic cough, talk to your doctor and visit copdfoundation.org today.
Hey, welcome back. This is Talk Back for Tuesday, June 9th. I'm Peter Christian. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls this morning. It's open phones. Mike is up next. Mike, thank you for holding through the break, sir. What's on your mind?
I wanted to bring people's attention to rattlesnake season. Really be watching out for them. I had a little news item come in on my phone this morning earlier. I didn't see coming. It has to do with a little boy, 6 years old, over west of Frenchtown at that little village next to Interstate 90, Huson, H-U-S-O-N.
Right.
He had been playing with large Lego block toys outside. He brought them in the house, put them down in the basement, and his mom told him to go down and stack them up and put them away, and he came back upstairs upset because he had said he got bit by a snake.
Oh my goodness.
And the folks thought he was spoofing, but they looked and they saw these two puncture marks on his fingers, and they went downstairs and looked, and they found a dadgum little baby rattlesnake.
Wow.
That only had one button that was just starting to grow on the end of its tail, so it was practically soundless. And was only about 8 inches long. And the story went on to tell about the complications that they went through getting anti-venom for him, and the extent of the damage that occurred to his finger. And they had a picture of the most garish looking hand and finger, and it was all swollen up, and he spent 5 days in the hospital.
Poor
between
little guy.
Missoula and Spokane, and was air flighted from Huson into Missoula, and then they discovered that they didn't have enough of the right kind of anti-venom, so they ambulanced him over to Spokane to finish up his anti-venom treatment. And I had forgotten about rattlesnakes living here in Bozeman since 76, and here in Bozeman town, we don't even have garter snakes. Mm. And so I realized how lax I have become from being able to live in a snakeless society, as it were.
Well, listen.
But just down at the Three Forks, my daughter and son-in-law's place, they found a little rattlesnake earlier this spring just inside their shop door, amongst some odds and ends that happened to be stacked there next to the door. And I know that down on the north side of the Gallatin Valley, at the base of the Horseshoe Hills and beyond, there's I've heard over the years people mention on occasion rattlesnakes. So it's snake season, and I'm suffering a little bit of post-traumatic delayed stress syndrome from reading the story.
I understand.
So I just thought I'd put the word out there, folks.
Thank you for sharing that.
Snake season, keep your eyeballs peeled.
Now you bet.
It's not fun
thank
when you,
for the,
you get startled and surprised by snakes.
Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it very much. Good word on that. Emmett is up next. Emmett, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Well, I was born in Tucson, Arizona, so I know about rattlesnakes. Yeah, I'm kind of lax here being in Missoula because I've never seen a rattlesnake since I've been in Tucson. But, yeah, it's good to be aware of those things. But I'm calling for something completely different. It isn't about politics, but it's the outrage of political correctness. I did want to kind of do a public service for people and just tell them, please, I would advise them not to go see that stupid remake of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe movie. They made, a remake of He-Man. I was really excited to go see it. It's been in the theaters, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, because I loved the cartoon, and I'm a huge fan of He-Man. This was a terrible remake or movie version of it. It was politically correct to the core. Well, none of the heroes or villains looked like they could fight their way out of a paper bag, and the plot was abysmal. I thought there'd be action because it was PG-13, but, Prince Adam was taken from Eternia for some sort of warp and ended up on Earth, and he grew up as a social worker and learned conflict resolution. long story short, he got the sword, went back to Eternia, had to do some conflicts, but this is where it really got bad. He tried to use conflict resolution with Skeletor, of all things, and talk to him about his feelings.
All right.
And then, then he fought
Emmett, we are up against a break. Thanks for the call. We're going to come right back. 721-1290 is our number. 1-800-568-5309. Stay with us.
You've just had an accident. Helping your inner circle prepare for emergencies can start in many ways. Put together an emergency kit with Wipol. Create a family communication plan with your tita. Remind Bai to keep a backup battery charged. It all starts with a simple step. Telling those you care about to be ready for the worst. So start a conversation and plan for emergencies together. Get more tips at ready.gov/start. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Peter Christian here. Nick Christensen is taking your phone calls this morning, and Jeff has been waiting through the break. So, Jeff, good morning, and thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Nick. Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Montana. Yeah, the last two calls just proved why it's so wonderful to live in Montana. Where else can you get a rattlesnake warning along with a Masters of the Universe film review?
I'm hip, man. I don't know what to say. We stand back in marvel, if you will. Pardon the pun.
Yeah. And another reason to be grateful to live in Montana is that we don't have the election integrity issues that other states have. And I'm talking about California here. I've been following the Graham Platt saga, and he was in second place for the L.A. mayor election, and then they started counting late ballots. And by some mystery, he got no votes in any of the late ballots. Karen Bass got a few, but most of the late votes, by some miracle, went to the distant third place candidate, Nithya Raman, who had already given her concession speech.
Wow.
But now here she is in second place, and it looks like she's going to be the one to run against Karen Bass. We have Karen Bass, who's a fool, and Nithya Raman, who's a far-left socialist, communist, Marxist candidate, and they're going to go for the safe choice. So the fool Karen Bass looks like she's going to get another term. And this is because California lets people who claim they are homeless use empty lots as official addresses. You can register to vote using your gym membership card as ID.
Wow.
They have all sorts of ridiculous things that that allow you to register to vote. And when they do, and you can count votes for up to 7 days afterwards. Any ballots received up to 7 days late count. And they all happen to break for the candidate that the people in charge want. So good news is that there are several things that may end this. One is the SAVE Act, although it doesn't look like that's going to, the SAVE America Act doesn't look like it's going to pass Congress. Also, the Supreme Court is expected to announce a decision in Watson v. Republican National Committee about whether or not the Constitution permits ballots received after Election Day to be counted. In other words, is it Election Day or election season? I think the court's going to come down on Election Day. Also, the Postal Service is going to require states to mail ballots only in barcoded official election mail.
Wow.
Which will allow people to track ballots. So it won't say who it is, but you can track your ballot. If you know your barcode, you can track your ballot, make sure it got to where it was supposed to go. So there's things out there to kind of try to fix the problems that California has. Again, fortunately, here in Montana, we don't have those problems. We have a great Secretary of State, Christy Jacobson, and one more reason to be grateful for living in Montana.
All right. Well, Jeff, always a pleasure to hear from you. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Thanks for the update. Dave is standing by. Dave, good morning, sir. You are on TalkBack. What's on your mind, please?
Yeah, first of all, about the election, excuse me, you know, I voted, but I didn't, I had to go there. I had lost my mail-in ballot, so I went in and voted in our election, and my vote was not going to be counted for 2 days. So, and I could call in and find out if it was counted for. But it would take 2 days before my vote would have been actually counted as part of the election. As far as California goes, I mean, California rules are California rules. The federal government is not supposed to interfere in state elections. That's in the Constitution. It's a state election, not a federal election.
Mm-hmm.
And the Postal Service is a federal organization, so there is some question whether they can have the federal government interfere in state elections. So I have real questions about that. But as far as our president, you know, he claims a lot of things, fake elections, and when he's called on it, he throws a big fit and screams and hollers and stamps off without ever showing any proof that there's fake elections. And homeless people, are they allowed to vote or not? I mean, I have a question there. Should homeless people allowed to vote? I think they should. Just because they're homeless doesn't mean they're not American citizens. And as far as anyone believing Donald Trump, period, 37 times he has said that the election, or that we're 2 days away from an agreement with Iran, 37 times. You know, when are we going to stop believing our president?
All right, sir. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And let's move on. Let's get Ed on the line. Ed, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, about the postmark on the ballot and this kind of business. Didn't Montana have that at one time? I seem to remember TV news stories late on Election Day with people made a kind of a party out of it, turning in, mailing your ballots and getting a postmark on Election Day. This was a long time ago, but seems to me that we had at least that part of the California mistake ourselves.
I don't know what to tell you, to be honest with you. Nick, do you have any, I don't have any memory of that. Sorry about that. I should. I like to keep track of what's going on with our electoral process, but that's one aspect that unfortunately is, has skipped by me.
Okay. Maybe I'm imagining this.
Well, you're probably you're probably not, but we appreciate you bringing it up.
Yep, I remember seeing on TV, kind of a party atmosphere at the post office on Election Day, late Election Day evening.
Well, when people were dropping off their ballots, they could either do the drop-in, you know, the drive-through, or just walk in and hand deliver. Yeah. Well, Ed, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. We're going to come right back. It's open phones, by the way. If there's something on your mind, give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. This is TalkBack on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Back after this.
Retirement is the long game. We can't play about our future or our finances. Let's put ourselves in the right position.
Start building your retirement plan at thisisretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
If your community is affected by wildfires, contractors may approach you with incredible promises to help you recover. However, they may be dishonest individuals hoping to take advantage of your situation. Don't be a victim. If you suspect fraud, contact NICB at reportinsurancefraud.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
This is Talk Back for this Tuesday, June the 9th. I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls. And Gary has been waiting the longest. Gary, good morning. You're on Talk Back. It's open phone, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I just mentioned a couple weeks ago, I heard on the news, or maybe I had a nightmare, I'm not sure which, that Montana was the 49th state to have the dirtiest drinking water in the country.
Wow.
Yeah, and that surprised me, and I've never heard a word about it anywhere else since then.
That's not something to celebrate, is it?
No, it's not, and curiosity is, are they looking at city water when they look around the state, or are they looking at well water? How do they come up with that, and what was their guidelines for that? So,
What was the organization that issued the report? Do you know?
I don't know, but I listen to your station 90% of the time, so I'm guessing it was on there. But
okay, all right.
I do not remember that.
All right, well, thanks for letting us know. Appreciate it. We'll try to look into that.
Okay, thank you. You guys have a great day.
And the same to you, and thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Harry, you're up next. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Peter. Yeah, on this California election, first off, they say, you know, 7 days. Well, that's their law. They have, you know, the postmark mail that comes in up to 7 days after the thing has to be counted. So, you know, that's the law. They scream and yell about it, but that's the law. They can change the law, but right now that's the law. And the idea that, you know, this Pratt guy or and also the governor, if you have three people, you know, all fairly close, and two of them are Democrats, even if the Republican makes it into the runoff, that that knocks out one of the Democrats. Do you think all those voters who voted for that Democrat is going to vote for the Republican? Of course not. So it doesn't matter. They're going to. I mean, it's going to be a Democrat win no matter who's in the runoffs. I mean, it's just the mathematics of it. I mean, they're so if Pratt, if he made it in the runoffs, well, that knocks out that the other like say Democrat, so all her voters are going to vote for the other Democrat. So I mean, it's something they Republicans get their, you know, oh boy, we're going to win California. No, you're not. No, no. I mean, it's a Democrat state. So the idea that the Save America Act was going to do anything. Was it the Heritage Foundation did a survey like 40 years, and they found that the whole idea is to stop illegal immigrants from voting, right? That's the main thing they're talking about. Well, you know, like say the Heritage Foundation, you know, a great conservative foundation, they said they did a thing, and they found like 88 votes over 40 years of immigrants, illegal immigrants voting. So, you know, it's a big to-do about nothing. I mean, you know, they said that was a high. A lot of people said that was actually kind of high. They were closer to 60 probably. So it's again, it's a good political issue that is really meaningless.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. We still have a little less than 3 minutes left in our open phones, and the phones are open. If you have a question or a comment, quickly give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. But I just want to remind you that coming up in the next hour, we'll be talking with Montana's Superintendent of Public Instruction, the Office of Public Instruction. Susie Hedlund will be joining us on the phone. And, of course, school has just wrapped up. Kids are off now, so now we have an opportunity to look back at the school year just passed, find out what happened, what kind of things the administration is learning. I'd love to know if the populations of the schools are growing or not. I'd love to see what's going on with that. Unfortunately, some areas, I even here in Missoula, the population of students is decreasing. So anyway, I'm looking forward to finding out more from Susie Hedlund. Again, she'll be joining us from 9 to 10. And we still have about a little less than 2 minutes left in our times of open phones at 406-721-1290. So if there's just a late comment you'd like to throw in, we'd love to hear from you. Again, that's 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we are just about a minute and a half away from our top of the hour break. So we're going to come right back. And do we have a caller?
No.
Oh, we don't. Okay.
Don't have time for another caller. I will say, to please spare do. You, since you're going and going
thank
there,
you.
It is Internet Crimes Against Children Prevention Month. So Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson and the Montana Department of Justice Division of Criminal Investigation, they just wanted to mention that and to take steps to protect children online this month, drawing attention to it. Knutson said, as technology continues to evolve, protecting children from online predators has never been more important. At the Montana DOJ, we will continue to do everything we can to investigate these crimes, hold predators accountable, and keep kids safe from sexual exploitation. Please do your part and talk to your kids about the dangers lurking online. So there's a lot of good information about that if you look online.
And especially now that when the kids are off school, they're going to be spending a lot more time online. So let's do our best to keep an eye on it and make sure that they are properly supervised when they're looking online. Of course, I know parents are already doing that, right? So, but a little bit more attention perhaps during the summertime. So we're going to come right back after the top of the hour, and we'll be talking again with Susie Hedlund, Superintendent of Montana's Office of Public Instruction, and she'll be taking your phone calls at 406-721-1290. We're coming right back after this.
Views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Hey, good morning once again, everyone. Good to have you along this morning. Hour number two of Talk Back is underway now. I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls this morning, producing Talk Back. And we are privileged to have with us, ladies and gentlemen, the superintendent of Montana's Office of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund. Susie, good morning and welcome back. It's good to hear your voice again.
Good morning, Peter. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Now, again, the graduation has occurred with the, I went to a graduation party over the weekend, a young lady from Sentinel. And so hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those going on all over the state. So we're done with this school year. So let's look back a little bit from your perspective as superintendent and see some highlights and things we need to work on.
Yes, it's been a great year, and I got to participate in some graduations as well. It's really exciting to be the speaker in Ekalaka, and then I got to join at Helena High for some of their events last week. They had a sister school ceremony. They have entered into a program with Japan, and so the students get to take turns visiting and getting to know each other and each other's cultures, so that was a pretty incredible experience as well. So it has just been a great year to see what schools are doing all across the state and get involved and support our schools however we can. So it's an exciting time of year, and we're just, you know, at the OPI, we really ramp up in the summer because that's when we provide professional development to educators across the state. So next week we'll be in Bozeman putting on the Summer Institute and highlighting things like artificial intelligence, school safety and student wellness, our literacy program, and supporting educators in our state assessment system.
I would imagine the whole idea of AI, artificial intelligence, has got to be a growing concern. Well, first of all, it's a boon because it helps teachers prepare and provide lesson plans, things like that. But also, maybe are parents just a little bit nervous about that, or perhaps even some of your teachers?
Yes, definitely. And that's why we have worked with the Montana Digital Academy, and we actually have a keynote speaker doing a session on AI, and he's incredible. So we are working, we're partnering with Jason Neifer, and he's the one speaking at the Digital Academy to make sure we have updated and just continually are providing guidance on the latest and greatest best practices, things to watch out for, and really how to ethically use AI in the classroom and in our schools across the state of Montana.
I've had the privilege of talking with Jason and did a lengthy interview with him a couple of years ago. And the whole idea of AI is rapidly increasing, and more schools are using it in very, very effective ways throughout their school districts. So do you have a group of people that handle that, or is it just basically come down from your office?
No, we do. We have... obviously, we have a major focus on data and IT at the Office of Public Instruction. It's the first time I put someone from our staff, a recent MSU computer science grad, and they have AI as a big part of their coursework. So it's the first time we've had someone in a position related to IT and tech on the executive team, because that's so important to me. And we just have so much going on in data modernization. So and AI and all of that. And we have data governance teams. And we also meet across agency collaboration regularly with our other agencies across the state and talk about, you know, how we can share data to improve student outcomes in the state of Montana.
We are going to come right back. More with Susie Hedlund. And we have Skip waiting online. And several other phone lines are open at 721-1290. So we'll be right back after this quick timeout.
Support for Dennis Bragg with the updated weather. A chance of rain before noon Tuesday, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms through the afternoon. A chance of rain around 60% with gusty winds at times. And cool, we won't get much warmer than the upper 50s to low 60s. Scattered rain continues through the evening and into Wednesday, as it will take a while for this system to move through. The chance of rain remains around 70% Wednesday. However, we should dry out and clear off into Thursday. That will likely mean another cold morning, and then the sun and warmer conditions return.
Special guest is Susie Hedlund, superintendent of Montana's Office of Public Instruction. And before we get, we have folks lined up to visit with you, but I wanted to ask you a little bit about the Montana Youth Risk Behavior Survey results, which I believe you've had a chance to look at.
Yes, it was really exciting to see the trends change, you know, over time, and to see that students are really being more health conscious and safe. And so it was exciting to take a look at the results and see those details coming to fruition. You know, less students with being in vehicles without seat belts, less students being in vehicles with, you know, risky behaviors, more students taking their health seriously and nutrition. So a lot of great results. Of course, one that really meant a lot to me is the decrease in suicidal ideation. So we're seeing students more feeling more resilient with their mental health, and that's really important across the state of Montana, something we've been working on for years.
Fantastic. We've got folks lined up to talk with you. Susie, we have Skip. Good morning. You're on with Susie Hedlund, our superintendent of public instruction. Go ahead.
Good morning, Peter, and thank you. And thanks for coming on, Susie. I got to tell you, I come from a generation where the acronym AI meant something totally different, and we didn't know about artificial intelligence, and we were trying to actually perfect and get the proper uses for artificial insemination in the farming industry. So I thought you'd enjoy that because it was that's what happened. So please be careful with AI. I'm sure you'll keep your thumb on the pulse of that. I wanted to tell you, in the Bitterroot Star, which is the paper here in the Bitterroot Valley that we get, it's a free paper. It's always wonderful, especially to read the articles that people write individually. And so I'm looking at two pages here side by side. One of them is the graduating class of Stevensville, and the one on the right side is the Bitterroot Homeschool graduates of 2026. Now, would you please give us the fundamentals of what the differences are or what criteria each one has to meet in the state of Montana so that someone who is homeschooled can get the same credential upon graduation? Would you just tell us the basic differences and what do we have to do for homeschool in Montana? Maybe you can just use that as an example, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks for the call, Skip. Susie, please.
Thank you. Yes, so if a parent chooses to homeschool their children in the state of Montana, they need to register with the county superintendent. And that is a process separate from the public school system. So I'm not as attuned to the ins and outs of it, but they do have documentation to complete. As a public school superintendent, you need to monitor and make sure that if a student is no longer enrolled in your school, that they do indeed register that student, or you get a records request from another school so that we don't have students falling through the cracks. But that is the process. They do not get a diploma, a Montana diploma. A lot of the different homeschool programs issue different kind of certifications, and whether those are acknowledged at the universities or not, I'm guessing is a case-by-case scenario. So some of them may choose to get the HISET, which we used to know as the GED, speaking of acronyms and previous terms. So that is kind of the current test that's taken across the state of Montana. So I believe the GED is still available in some locations, but and our team does assist with those for students taking those kinds of proficiency tests. But it is definitely separate. If families choose to do that, they do not get the same diploma that students do from our public schools in Montana.
All right, let's try to get one more.
Or our accredited schools.
Okay. Yeah. We'll try to get one more call in before we have a break. Perry, quickly, what's your question for Susie Hedlund? Hello, Perry. Go ahead, please.
Well, good morning, Ms. Hedlund. I want to call to protest the digitalization of our kids' education. You know, I understand that education isn't the same as it was when I went to first grade in 1963, the fall that JFK was assassinated, and that was a long time ago. But the problem here that I see in modern education
with digitalization is you're not teaching kids to think. There's a thing called productive struggle that happens only when a kid is made to use their eyes, their ears, their head, and their hands in nexus and to formulate a way to struggle through a problem. There's even a concept called productive struggle. And when you simply place a child in front of a screen with a clicker and give them hints and let them have the answer if they can't figure it out, you deny them, you cheat them of the ability to wire their brains to an extent where they have the kind of intelligence that will serve them well in today's world. You're not doing that by just plopping them in front of a screen. Face-to-face contact with a teacher and productive struggle. Look at what they're doing in Mississippi with the Miracle. They're getting much better educated kids with a lot less money because they aren't messing around with all this stuff. They're teaching kids the basics and making them work their way up the ladder of knowledge and wire their brains to be intelligent adults. And I urge you to start pressing your local districts to do just that instead of only teaching kids how to type and putting them in front of a computer screen. Thank you for hearing me out.
Susie, if you don't mind, we only have a few seconds. You don't have enough time during this segment to answer that fully, and I know you want to. So we're going to come right back, and Susie Hedlund will address that when we come back. A very important question. Emmett is also waiting. And other phone lines are open at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, our guest on the phone this morning until 10 o'clock this morning is Susie Hedlund, Superintendent of Montana's Office of Public Instruction, here to take your questions, comments, and answer them. So we'll be right back after this quick timeout. You're listening to Talk Back on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Another drop in Montana gas prices. The latest results from GasBuddy.com show the price is falling off 10.2 cents per gallon over the past week. That brings the statewide average down to $4.36. Retired University of Montana economist Patrick Barkey says while oil prices are getting the headlines right now, there are a lot of factors impacting Montana and the global economy as a whole.
It's still a pretty high price lever to be pulling. Now in the U.S., we're very proud of the fact that thanks to our fracking friends, both in the Dakotas and Canada and obviously Texas, New Mexico, that situation is different, but it's still a global commodity and Americans are paying the price as well.
Barkey says inflationary pressure remains a major trouble sign for U.S. businesses, but there are other issues besides oil prices, including the growing amount of consumer debt. And it's not just gas prices we're dealing with. As Nick Northern reports, power prices are seeing a sharp climb in Montana as well.
Rising utility costs are becoming a significant concern for households across America, with Montana experiencing notable increases in electricity prices. New data reveals that electricity prices in Montana have surged by double digits year over year, placing the state among the top 10 in the country for energy price hikes. As electricity demand continues to escalate, partly due to the expansion of data centers, there are fears that these utility costs could further rise. For more information, check out the story on our website. For the Montana State News Network, I'm Nick Northern.
The EPA and the Montana Department of Environmental Quality say a final cleanup plan has been approved for the 1,100-acre Billings PCE Superfund site that's near just east of downtown. Federal engineers confirm that the systems are scientifically designed to channel harmful underground chemical vapors safely outside building foundations. This is the Montana State News Network.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Hey, we're back on Talk Back on this Tuesday, June 9th. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. We're privileged to have Susie Hedlund, the Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state of Montana, joining us on the phone. And Susie, we didn't have time for you to answer the last caller's question, so if you could take care of that for us, please.
Yes, thank you. I would love to. So we were talking about concerns with screens, usage, electronic education. So, and it, what I felt like was being described was project-based learning, and I completely agree. It's really important for students to exercise their problem-solving skills. And so that reminded me a lot of what we call in the education world, especially in K-12 education, project-based learning, where students really take on with their hands, learning through things, working through things with teammates, and get to really use that higher level of thinking. So I think that that's very important. From the YRBS, we do see concerns with the amount of time students are spending on screens, on social media platforms, which we know impacts mental health negatively. And we do see more virtual bullying going on these days mm-hmm. than actual physical bullying or in-person bullying. So there are concerns. I do agree with our caller on that. And I want to mention that the Mississippi Miracle was referenced as well. I will say, you know, a big part of that is that if students are not proficient by third grade in reading, they get held back, which we know is detrimental to students. So I'm a little bit challenged with that. But I think one thing that it has really done is put a little bit of responsibility back on parents. And I do believe that parents play an incredible role in their children's education. And so we need parents to be involved. We need them to be reading with their students from the time they're young, you know, at least 15 minutes a night, and to really be engaged for them to be successful in their education. Parents are critical. And I believe that that's part of what has made that be successful in Mississippi, is that the parents have really gotten involved to make sure their students are prepared and can keep moving forward in their education. So those are a couple of components that really stood out to me from that last call. I believe, you know, we need to utilize technology in a really responsible way in the classroom and with our students. Obviously, it's here. We can't ignore it. They need to know how to use it and use it ethically. And it can be a powerful tool, but we have to find that balance and make sure that, you know, students are still holding books in their hands. Mm-hmm. And that's why I, you know, have ran on back to basics. I think it's really important that students can read cursive, because our constitution's in it. I think it's, and write cursive and sign their name. And, you know, I really think we have to get back to those basic fundamentals of reading and math, especially early literacy, and then into math as the students move forward for them to be successful in their education.
And cursive is fun. Anyway, let's get Evan on the line. Evan, good morning. You're on with Susie Hedlund. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Well, a couple of questions. One, are you teaching basics like basic history, world history, and the Constitution? I'm glad you mentioned the Constitution. But the reason I asked is because I just saw a report on Fox News about one of the Democrat candidates, you know, and it was just briefly mentioned that this one voter said, because one of the Democrats that had a Nazi tattoo, and she said, well, I don't know about the Nazi tattoo, but I wouldn't want a candidate to have an Israeli tattoo because Israelis support genocide. Well, we all know Adolf Hitler committed genocide, right. And this voter didn't even know this. Right. And it must have gone back to the schools. No education on, like, basic American history, world history, even the Constitution. How are we addressing the basics like that? Right. And you mentioned bullying just briefly. What are the any anti-bullying initiatives in school? Because I was bullied myself. So if you could answer those questions, I'd be happy.
Thanks for the call, Emmett. We've got about 2 minutes before we take a break. Susie, please.
Yeah, we actually have some very exciting news on the concept of teaching history and government. We added the seal of civics this year, so graduates could put in for a seal to be on their diploma to acknowledge them going above and beyond in civics and learning and understanding our government and our history. So they had to take certain required courses in order to earn that seal on their diploma, and students in the future can put in for this also. They also need to do community service, which we all know is a very important part of being a citizen in the United States. So the students took a test to show their knowledge of American history and the way our government works, as well as different courses that they needed to take throughout high school and completing community service hours. So that was a movement in alignment with the 250th celebration that we're going to be doing across the state. And we already have had many great events to celebrate America's birthday. So it's an exciting time to get students involved in that. And that's one thing we've done to promote that. Is that seal of civics literacy that students can put on their Montana State diploma when they graduate if they meet those requirements. But we do have standards and expectations of what students will learn in our Montana schools, and it is really important that we teach Montana history as well as our United States history as it happened, and students are, knowledgeable and confident in those areas.
Fantastic. We're up against a break. We're going to come right back. We have Tracy and Catherine both waiting to visit with you. Our guest on the phone is Susie Hedlund. She's Montana's Superintendent of Public Instruction. We're going to come right back after this quick timeout. Take your phone calls, and several phone lines are open, by the way, at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
Hey, boo.
Life is full of moments, from first steps to first loves, moments that make life special. And life can also bring us difficult and disruptive moments like a cancer diagnosis, which is why the groundbreaking work of Stand Up to Cancer is so vital. They know the problem of cancer won't be solved by one doctor, one lab, or one hospital. It takes collaboration. That's why Stand Up to Cancer brings together top minds from different fields to find new and better treatments so patients can thrive. So when it matters, we can all show up for moments of a lifetime. Please join Stand Up to Cancer and Myrtle Beach to help families get back to where they belong, making new memories for years to come. Please go to standuptocancer.org to see how you can join the mission.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is the Tuesday edition of Talk Back. Glad to have you along this morning. I'm Peter Christian. Mr. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls this morning, and we're privileged to have with us Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund, on the phone with us. And folks have been waiting all the way through the break. So, Tracy, good morning. You're on with Superintendent Hedlund. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, Susie, for all your hard work. I have a quick question, and then I'm going to hang up so I can listen to you. We've been being told more and more that they're teaching the Quran in the elementary schools in some areas and not the Ten Commandments. Do you have a comment about that, or what's really going on? Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
I have not heard anything about that being taught, Peter, so I'm not sure where that's coming from. We do not teach religious education in our public schools, you know, unless it is done in a well-rounded way, and all of that needs to be vetted through the school board. You know, all of our material is supposed to be ran through the school board, our curriculum, that falls under the local control of the school board to approve what's being taught in the classrooms and the curriculum. We set the standards and the content that, you know, we want our students to achieve across Montana through processes at the OPI here, but we do not, you know, necessarily encourage that sort of education. So I would have to find out more about what exactly might be going on or where that could possibly be happening. But, you know, like I said, I really have encouraged schools to focus on getting education back to the basics, really making sure we hit those reading and math standards and do it in a responsible manner, balancing the use of technology like we talked about. And my goal is really to make sure that by third grade, our students can read, and then that we become very fluent in mathematics as they continue on, and that they are well-rounded citizens, understand their government, their Montana history, knowledge about our tribes here in Montana, all those critical components. So the Montana state standards are on our website. And we are also putting out, we're one of few states to receive a very competitive literacy grant. And with part of the component of that grant, we are putting out recommended curriculum. And we're working with the schools to put that together. We haven't had that in Montana before. We've had to look at other states or like the national registry to see how things are ranked and evidence and research base. And so we're creating a Montana friendly version that schools can share what they're using, and other schools can take a look at it if they're thinking about adopting a new curriculum. So we're looking forward to that.
Well, we're about 2 minutes away from a break. So real quickly, could you hit the summer food service program for us?
Yes, we have a robust summer foods program in Montana. Every year, the last few years, we've been getting more and more sites on the map. And so it's really important to us to make sure that we're serving wholesome, nutritious meals across the state in the summer. Those are at no cost to students 18 and under, and they can go to a site and receive a nutritious lunch that meets our food requirements from the USDA. So we are excited to have, you know, our public schools on board with that. We also have Boys and Girls Clubs and other community organizations that are offering those lunches across the state to make sure our students stay healthy and fed throughout the summer.
Where can moms and dads find out where to go? Just go to your local schools?
You can look on the OPI website. We have a map of all the sites. And yes, your local school probably knows the locations in your area as well. And hopefully they're advertising that within the community.
You bet. All right. That's always important, especially during the summertime. And I know you guys do a great job with your school nutrition programs all year long. And we appreciate that. So we're going to come right back. And when we come back, Catherine and Roy are both waiting to visit with you. Our guest on the phone is Susie Hedlund. She's Montana's superintendent of the Office of Public Instruction. And so just getting ready, the school year is over and now we're into summer. But as Susie said earlier in the hour, the summer is not a time for rest for the school officials. They're busy preparing for the next school year. So we'll get calls from Catherine and Roy, and several other phone lines are open, by the way, at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we'd love to hear from you wherever in the state you are, Eastern Montana, Central Montana, Western Montana, whatever. Give us a call at 406-721-1290. We're coming right back after this quick timeout on the Montana Talks Network.
Small businesses are the heart of America. Like you, these entrepreneurs started out with a dream and the drive to build a better life. If you have a small business idea to grow or challenge to face, you don't have to go it alone. Since 1964, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. Today, they are the nation's largest nonprofit source of expert mentoring, resources, and education. Whether you're starting out, building back, or have worked at it for years, SCORE will match you with specialized mentors. Our thousands of volunteers provide the guidance and connections you need for free. Your success is waiting. SCORE is ready to help. Find a mentor today at score.org.
Women experience unique life stages such as pregnancy or menopause that can increase their risk of developing cardiovascular disease over the course of their lifetime.
But here's the good news. Women have the best resource.
We have each other.
Visit goredforwomen.org today to learn more.
It's the Tuesday, June 9th edition of Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number. 1-800-568-5309. That's 406-721-1290, all over the state of Montana. Our guest on the phone, Susie Hedlund, Montana's Superintendent of Public Instruction. Folks have been waiting through the break to talk with you, and up next is Catherine. Catherine, good morning. You're on Talk Back with Susie. Go ahead.
Good morning. Has your department ever done any comparison studies of student achievement in academics between public school, private school, homeschooling, Amish schooling, and Hutterite schooling? What are the differences in approach, curriculum, and wanted outcomes? And will you ever consider incorporating some of the successful strategies from these other educational approaches?
Good questions.
Thank you. Yeah, so we have student performance data on our students that take, you know, the statewide testing, our accredited schools across the state of Montana. So, of course, we take a look at that data and we, you know, definitely dive in to see where we have pockets of success, especially where, you know, we kind of call it beating the odds, where even, you know, the demographics, so there might be high poverty rates, but we're still seeing really, really great success. So we definitely take a look at those different components and strategies. We don't have data on some of the schools that are not part of our assessment system, for example. So that's a little bit hard to compare if they don't participate in our assessment practices. We do have ACT scores for some of them or different components like that. But so that can be a little bit challenging to have a comparison. I will tell you that things, we definitely take a look at best strategies and use those with our school improvement team to support any schools that are underperforming. And those are identified through the federal Every Student Succeeds Act, as well as our statewide accreditation system, so they can become a comprehensive school or a school that is deficient or, you know, in needs of improvement. So we have a school improvement team that then goes in with our best practices and strategies. So some of those that we're putting forward include the multi-tiered system of supports, MTSS. It's kind of a mouthful, but it's about really making sure that we're monitoring that student data, that we're putting interventions in place and supporting those students in those areas of need, whether that's with attendance, whether that's with reading or math, that we're putting those supports in place and getting that student on track. And another component, I will just tell you, my staff probably gets sick of me saying it, but I really believe in an hour and a half reading block. You know, it's kind of part of the old reading first model, but I worked at a school that was, you know, had some of the lowest reading scores, and we had some families that were struggling, and it was just, it was tough, but we really dove into that hour and a half of really good reading instruction. We had a lot of professional development and training on that instruction and had really good materials, and we rose to be one of the higher performing schools. So I really believe there are best practices out there. We hear about them continually at conferences and different opportunities, and they really haven't changed that much over the years. It's like, even with the School Funding Commission, we spent quite a bit of time talking about what best models are. We looked at international examples, and you know, it's like, we know what works. We know, and we just need to make sure it's being put in place. And a lot of that is up to the local school board as well.
Got it. Let's get Roy on the line. Roy, good morning. You're on with Susie Hedlund, the Office of Public Instruction Superintendent. Hello, Roy. You're on TalkBack.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Susan, for making yourself available to talk to us on the radio. I noticed that when I... Yes, I noticed that a lot of the competition, student competition, like football, basketball, baseball, things of that nature, happen on Sundays. And that's kind of unfortunate, I see, because I realize that some students that would like to be in church on Sundays, and it interferes with their being able to go to church. So I wonder if it's possible to schedule these competitions on Friday after school and Saturdays rather on Sundays. But if it's not possible, if they absolutely have to be on Sunday, I wonder if it's possible that I can schedule a competition for Sunday afternoons, because most kids, most people go to church on Sunday mornings. And that is what I'd like to see happen. And I don't know if that's possible or not, I wonder. So I just listen to what you have to say. Thank you.
Roy, thanks for the call. Susie, please.
Yeah, so we actually, the Montana Public Schools fall under the MHSA, the Montana Sports Association, and they do not allow sanctioned school activities to be during the designated church times. So I'm not sure how that could come to be. It would have to be an activity that is not part of the school program. So it would have to be like maybe some of the clubs or outside of the school-related activities, because the school-related activities do not occur on Sundays. And even I'm pretty sure most schools have it in policy, and it's under those MHSA guidelines to avoid Wednesday nights as well.
Well, it's good to know. Yeah, Wednesday night as well is often a religious education time for families as well. So, hey, listen, we're going to come right back. We have not enough time to take another call right now, but we have Susan waiting on the line to visit with you. And by the way, all of our other phone lines are open. And please know that Susie Hedlund, Montana's superintendent of the Office of Public Instruction, is going to be with us all the way until just before 10 o'clock. So if you have a question or a comment, now is the time to get in the queue, because we'll definitely get you on at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, we're talking with Susie Hedlund. She's Montana's superintendent of the Office of Public Instruction, calling us from Helena this morning. And again, several other phone lines are open. If you want to get in on the conversation, don't wait, because that 10 minutes is going to go quickly. So again, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309, all over the state of Montana on TalkBack, right here on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We're going to come right back with more with Susie right after this brief timeout. Stay with us.
Advantage Goals.
75 years of research.
75 years of policy.
75 years of opportunity.
75 years of freedom.
This is 75 years of the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
Join us at mda75.org.
This is TalkBack. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls and producing Talkback. Our guest on the phone, Montana's Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund. I do believe we have Susan.
Susie wanted to talk about it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so you wanted to talk about Class 8. So if you wouldn't mind sharing that with us, please.
Yes, thank you so much. I just wanted to say that we're really excited about taking down barriers so that students have more opportunities in high school to further their career and college experience. We are working with the Board of Public Education to remove, and the Commissioner of Higher Education to remove the requirement for Class 8 licenses, which is really something silly that we discovered was a barrier for our educators and our students in Montana. We were requiring that college professors have a K-12 teaching license also in order for students to get high school credit if they took a college course. So that was just creating problems and reducing opportunities. So we've taken that away. So whether a student is taking a welding class at the VOTEC, you know, at the community college, or whether they're taking a higher level mathematics class, they can earn high school credit for it as well as college credit now. And so whether they're going into a trade or going into college traditional pathway, they can get credit in both areas. And it just makes sense. You know, it's all about common sense and reducing those barriers and helping our students get more opportunities. It's also really financially helpful to our families across the state of Montana. So we're excited about getting this taken care of.
Now, Susie, I wanted to ask you a little bit about enrollment, because I know in many areas across the state, enrollment at high schools and middle schools has been dropping a little bit. And I know there's not much you can do about that, but how do you adjust for that?
Yeah, we've seen a trend in declining enrollment across the nation, and I don't know that we can adjust for that. You know, we see less children are being born across the nation these days, but it is really important that we build those positive relationships with parents and that our parents trust in our public school system. And that's why I really talk a lot about being transparent with our parents about what we're teaching and how their students are doing. That's why I think our current state, you know, one of the positive things about our new current state assessment is that parents can see how their students are doing throughout the year on our Montana state standards. And so I think that those components are really important. The more you can engage parents and talk to them about what you're teaching and how you're teaching it and involve them in the school, the more they trust. And I think those are just really critical components right now, as we see that being one concern across the nation. So I just think being transparent, having parents involved and engaging them in their students' education so that we can continue to have their trust to educate their children is very important.
Do we have time to get one more call? Let's get Susan on quickly. Susan, we are running out of time. What's your question?
I wanted to ask about teacher pay. Montana has an excellent MSU and U of M student teacher program in both universities as well as in Billings. But we train them and then they go to other states where salaries are higher. What is the outlook for salaries across the state of Montana? And then are there pockets of salaries that are better in the state of Montana than other parts of the state?
All right, thanks for the call. We got about 2 minutes, Susie.
Yeah, so with the passing of STARS last legislative session, we took a really good step forward in that area. And so almost all of our districts applied to participate. Only a few very small rural districts or other circumstances, only very, very few schools did not participate. So all of the schools that are participating in the STARS Act now have a level playing field for where teachers' salaries start out at, and that helps them then get more funding for their district. So it comes with some incentives to make sure that we brought up teacher pay across the state of Montana. So we've seen that be really effective. So I think we're heading in the right direction.
Right.
We're currently in the School Funding Commission, studying how we're funding our schools and paying our teachers. And I think that that is really important. One of the other things you talked about was our enrollment. And I think, our bonds passing and not passing, as you've mentioned before when we've talked, Peter. And it's really important that people understand where their tax dollars are going.
Right.
So that's why I believe we need a more transparent funding formula for our schools in the state of Montana so people truly understand where their taxes are going, what they're paying for.
Susie, we are completely out of time. Thank you for sharing your expertise with us. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend, ma'am. Or have a good day.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you so much. Okay, Mr. Nick, what's coming up tomorrow, sir?
Tomorrow, it'll be Bob Seidenschwartz with the Montana World Affairs Council, and his guest will be Hussein Ibish. He's a senior resident scholar at the Arab Gulf States Institute in Washington, and they're going to talk about if peace is possible in Lebanon. I will not be here. I will be back on Monday.
All right. So I'll be handling things, Bob. Hopefully Bob's going to be on the phone. So we will take care of things.
Bob will be in studio.
That's what I mean.
He still have the phones. Yeah. Yep.
Have yourselves a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow morning, bright and early at 8 o'clock for Talkback. Thanks for listening.